3 years. It wasn't fair. Perhaps I should walk to Ashcroft to make sure that they're there. She cast a wistful glance out at the green woolly hills of the Yorkshire Wolds that stretched for miles and miles. Maman lifted one perfectly plucked blonde eyebrow. You cannot go off to town alone, ma fille. It's not seemly. Blowing out a frustrated breath, Lisette returned to pacing. As if anyone cares about propriety for a bastard. Lisette Bonneau, Maman said sharply, do not use that awful word to describe yourself. You're the daughter of the Viscount Rathmore. Never forget it.
The illegitimate daughter of the Viscount Rathmore, she grumbled. What happened to all of Papa's promises to marry you?
Maman's lips tightened into a line. It's a complicated matter. He had to wait for the war with France to end. Marrying a French woman will create a very great scandal for your papa as it is, and for his legitimate sons. Lisette eyed her mother askance.
The war ended a year ago, Maman, and the only one who cares about scandal is George. Waiting won't change that.
26-year-old George Manton was Papa's legitimate son and heir, half-brother to her and Tristan. He'd hated them ever since Papa made Maman his mistress. Even after George's mother had died years ago, he'd still loathed the woman whom his father continued to dote on, and the children born of his father, their father. George will come around, Maman said dismissively, obviously uncomfortable with this line of conversation. He will have no choice once your papa marries me. She began to spread jam on a piece of toast with delicate strokes of the knife. Everything Maman did was delicate. Meanwhile, Lisette didn't have a delicate bone in her body. She was unnaturally tall for a girl her age, with bony hips and large breasts that made her look off balance. And her hair wasn't Maman's buttery blonde, which gentlemen always seemed to admire. It was Papa's ink black. She did try to make it attractive with the ribbons Papa brought her from his travels, but it was so wild and curly that such an endeavour was fruitless. Most of the time, she ended up using the ribbons to embroider her gowns instead.
Maman, am I pretty?
Her mother blinked.
Of course you're pretty, ma chérie. You're my daughter, aren't you?
Don't fret. One day men will vie for your attention.
She wasn't sure she wanted that. Maman's looks had only gained her a lifetime of waiting around for the man she loved to marry her. As a little girl, Lisette had believed in Papa's promises to make them a real family one day. But lately she'd begun to lose faith in him. A heavy knock came at the entrance door.
I'll answer it,
Lisette called out, as she dashed into the hall to open it. She smiled when she saw her other half-brother, 19-year-old Dominic Manton, standing on the doorstep.
You're back at last, she cried.
Dom was as different from George as peas to pears. He'd been a childhood playmate to Tristan while George was off at school. As Lisette had grown older and begun trailing about after them, he'd been kind to her, even though the villagers weren't, and she adored him for that. But today he didn't look happy to be here.
May I come in?
Her heart faltered as she noticed his bloodshot eyes, his colourless lips, the way he held himself as if he were made of porcelain. Something bad had happened. Oh, Lord.
Tristan, she whispered. Is he hurt?
Where is he?
Dom countered. The question confused her.
I don't know. He's been gone since yesterday. You should talk to Papa. They went out hunting together.
He muttered a curse, then squared his shoulders.
Father is dead, Lisette.
The bald words were a slap to her face. As she gaped at Dom, wondering if she'd misheard,